following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I am glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. Today, we are going to wrap up our Godspeed series. All the way back in a completely different year, in 2017, on New Year's Eve, we watched a film together called Godspeed. Through it, we followed Matt Canlis as he learned in the tiny town of Methlick in northeastern Scotland what being a part of a community looked like. We watched as he learned what pastoring and being the church in a community looked like, and what it meant to really live life in community. And the whole concept of Godspeed is a challenging one. The language comes from, as Matt talks about in the film, the pace that Jesus moved around the Galilee region of Israel. Walking pace, 3 miles per hour. At walking pace, at this speed, we get to talk to other people. We get to see the place that we're at. We get to offer a presence to the community that isn't really possible when we're driving through at 60 kilometers an hour or faster. So over the past several weeks, we have tried to look at what it might mean for us to take some of these lessons from Matt's time in Methlick and translate them to Surrey, to South Surrey, to here, Grandview Heights, acknowledging that these are two very different contexts. I tried to look up the population of Methlick, and it was a lot more difficult to try to find than I thought it would be, but I'm not sure if it's actually true, but what I found was 133 people. So we are roughly 4,000 times the size of Methlick. The city of Surrey is, so it's slightly different. But there are some themes that translate really well, some things that we can really learn from, such as the theme of place, the need to locate ourselves, to get to know our city, to get to know our neighborhood, our parish, the place that we consider our community. We talked about the need to do that locating, not only in terms of geography, though that's important, but also in terms of spirituality, in terms of history, in terms of culture. And then once recognizing our place, which should be an ongoing exercise, I would suggest, we have a responsibility to offer our presence in that place. We have all been in situations where we have not been fully present, right? And I'm willing to bet that that didn't go well. Either the work we are present in suffered, or the person that we are not present with noticed and felt undervalued. Our presence, regardless of what place we're in, is vital. One of the very easy ways that I have been trying to be more present is simply in my own devotional time. By putting my phone aside, either leaving it in my pocket or putting it on a table far away, and not taking my computer out of its bag. It's these like American, quasi-Canadian, like it's all the different accents, and then I hear myself saying words and it just sounds weird. Taking it out of my backpack until I've finished for the day's reading. We live in a world where distractions are everywhere, right? A world where we actively distract ourselves everywhere. So presence is something that we actually have to work at, that we have to be working at all the time. And one of the ways that we can practice presence, specifically in relationship with others, is by acknowledging the identity of every person, first and foremost, as a beloved child of God, and by using their name. Names, we have learned, offer incredible indicators into individual identity, into our own uniqueness, and are a key part of getting to know someone. Throughout the Bible, we see a huge emphasis on individuals and on their names, because individuals matter to God. And we looked at, when we were talking about identity and names, the need to change I-it relationships to I-thou relationships. For us to move from a place where we see people as simply a part of a group, a race, an ethnicity, an age range, a characteristic, to seeing them and being willing to get to know them as beloved, unique children of God. That kind of work, or that kind of switch, takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of presence. It takes a lot of intentionality. But it is core to loving our neighbors as ourselves. And then last week, we talked about the thrilling topics of pace and stability. Whether we like it or not, there is a natural pace to things that we have to be mindful of. We can try all we want to make things go faster than they should, but when we do that, we tend to make something incomplete or of poor quality. We can't rush relationships. We can't rush spiritual practices like prayer and reading scripture. We can't rush simply growing up, though there's a point in time where wanting to do that seems like a completely foreign concept. And we talked about how stability is determined by a solid foundation, the foundation of a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that to remain stable, to maintain that stability, takes 1,000 little decisions, little corrections each day to follow Jesus. We learn to really follow Jesus in the tiny nothings of life, the little everyday moments where we remind ourselves exactly who Jesus is in our lives and exactly what it means to be loved by God. My hope is that throughout the last several weeks, you have felt challenged. That you have felt challenged to identify your community, challenged to be present to your community, and to practice these things in your life. I know that I have found great opportunities to be mindful of and to practice these things, and I believe it's been an important way that God has been working in my own life. This morning, we have just one theme left to look at, the theme of mission. What does it mean for us to really work as followers of Christ in our community? What does it mean for us to see our community as a mission field? Before we dive into our scripture reading for today, which will be Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 9, and if you would like a Bible to read along, feel free to raise your hand, and Dave, or maybe Val, would be happy to bring you one either for today or to keep. But before we get into Jeremiah, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to us through your word this morning. Help us to know the truth of your love and the hope that we find in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. So let's take a look at Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 9. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. The first three verses, full of names, give us some context for this letter from Jeremiah that we're reading a portion of. Right? Jeremiah is in Jerusalem writing to his people who are in exile, brought to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And it's a difficult time for the Israelites to be in exile. They have been taken from their homeland, a place that, as we read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy this fall, we remember is a huge part of the identity of the Israelite people. And Jeremiah is writing from the place that all of his readers want to get back to, Jerusalem. That's home. And so the words that we read beginning in verse 5 are probably not what Jeremiah's readers are looking to hear. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens, eat the produce. Marry, have your kids marry. Seek peace and prosperity. Seek and work towards the well-being of this place. Pray for this place. That's right, pray for it. Because if Babylon prospers, you too will prosper. For a people who have been longing to return to their home, to Jerusalem, to hear these words read from Jeremiah's letter must have been shocking. You mean we're not, or you mean we're supposed to settle here? We're supposed to make this our home? We're supposed to pray for this place and for these people? You mean we're supposed to carry on being the people of Israel? The people through whom God intends to bless the whole world? Absolutely. And we learn a lot from this letter Jeremiah writes to the people in exile. Wherever we are to carry on being the church. In whatever neighborhood, in whatever context, we have to be the church. And that means settling in, putting down roots, making this our home, and working and praying for the prosperity of our community. Because our own prosperity is tied up in just that. Here's what Julie Canlis, Matt's wife, writes about this theme of mission from their time in Methlic. I love the way she starts off the first three words. Among the mistakes we made in Methlic was the decision to throw an event that attracted people to church. Wanting to be seeker-sensitive and not too churchy, we thought we'd have a barbecue with a bouncy castle. To promote the event, we pinned posters all over the parish, knowing our 1,600-year-old church needed a friendly facelift. Instead, rumors spread across the parish that the church was doing something weird. What was the agenda? Churches and bouncy castles? What was the world coming to? On Sunday morning, an extra amount of cars drove slowly past, eyeing our picnic tables and grills with suspicion. But when we continued being church, putting on Christmas services, holding village funerals, having our once weekly Kirk Cafe, people slowly started trickling in. We could either be the church well or poorly, but pretending to be what we were not simply turned people off. We are now in our fourth year in Wenatchee, USA. Our fledgling mission team began to think and pray about how to reach out to the parish. We had several ideas for one-off events that we could put on, but our times of prayer led us a different direction. We began to wait, pray, and listen. We asked God to give us something we could join, instead of starting something our small church couldn't sustain. We are now a part of a citywide ministry that happened to need volunteers in local parks who would be willing to go face-to-face with our neighbors. It is a small step. It is a first step. both the Israelites through Jeremiah's letter and Matt and Julie through their experiences in Methlic learned that the best way to focus on mission, to focus on fulfilling the mission that God gave Abraham all the way back in Genesis, is to simply continue being God's people, blessing those who are a part of the community in which we live. There's a quote shared at the end of this section of their study guide from William Temple, who is an English preacher and teacher who was once the Archbishop of Canterbury. He said, "The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." Let me say that again. The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. I shared that this week with someone who has a nominal relationship with church herself, though she has family who regularly attend. And her response was, "That's beautiful." I was half expecting, maybe fully expecting, her to say, "Yeah, I wish that would happen more," or, "You could do better about that." But all she said was, "That's beautiful." That resonates. Working to bless others. Our mission as a church, our mission as followers of Christ, our mission as God's people is to bless the whole world. It's quite simple, really. Our mission then is to put down roots, to work for and pray for the prosperity of our community, to benefit those who are not our members. That's what I want us to be known for. That's what I want Emmanuel to be known for in this community. But it will take a whole lot of intentionality. There's been a lot for us to chew on over the last several weeks. And we're going to move now into our time of discussion, so we get to chew on that a bit together. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, 1 or 2 minutes, to read the questions that Stephen will put up behind me or are on the sheets that are on your chair or one next to you. I'll give you a couple minutes to read through them, reflect on these questions, and then I'll move us into a time of discussion with one or two other people around us. All right, I'm going to encourage you to maybe adjust some chairs or turn to one or two people near you, or maybe take a short walk together with one or two other folks and talk about the question or questions that that have stood out to you, things that have stood out to you in these. And again, I would encourage you to risk being known. Well, I'm going to interrupt your conversation, unfortunately, but I would again really encourage you to continue discussing these things after the service in the foyer, around coffee, and even I would suggest throughout the week, throughout the months, throughout the years. This theme especially, I think, will be a really important one for us as a church. But this is a theme that I think will be particularly important for us as a church to be considering and working on as our community grows up around us. What does this mean? What does this look like for us as a church that is situated here in Grandview Heights? So this coming Wednesday, as Kristen noted, is Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of the season of Lent, a season where we are invited to make space in our lives to engage in a practice that Jesus is leading us towards. Often that comes in the form of fasting from something, and that is a great opportunity. But let me suggest that you choose one, two if you really want to, of these themes, and find ways to practice them over the season of Lent. Find a way to get to know your place, get to know your community, your neighborhood, your parish more fully. Choose some ways that you are going to be more present. Maybe identify someone that you have been considering just part of an it, and do the work to turn them into a thou. Learn their name, learn their identity. Get to know them as a beloved child of God. Maybe you need to work on your pace. Set an alarm to remind you to breathe. So on the Apple Watch, there is an app that pops up periodically. Like if you're going at a frantic pace and it tells you to breathe. Both Erica and I have turned off that app because it's just really frustrating to have my watch tell me when to breathe. But maybe there's some real wisdom in that. I don't love that it's coming from Apple, but but taking some space and taking some time to breathe and to say, here I am. Maybe this is a great opportunity to do some research or committing to find a way to be a blessing in some tangible way to your community. Joining something that's already going on. Maybe just befriending a neighbor that needs a friend. Over the 7 Sundays of Lent, we're going to look at the 7 I Am sayings of Jesus. And so I would encourage you, as we are reading and as we are learning together exactly who Jesus tells us he is, that you spend some intentional time daily following him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these past weeks, for the ways that you have spoken to me, for the ways that you have spoken to us through this series, through your word, through the experiences of Matt and Julie. Thank you, God, that you still speak to us, that you still encourage us, teach us, challenge us, convict us, and love us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to follow you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to live out the mission you call us to. We pray this all in your holy and precious name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.